come to the name of the undivided Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. One of the odd things about the assigned scripture readings for Sunday morning, oftentimes called the Revised Common Lectionary, is that they aren't always in chronological order. In fact, sometimes they're not in any logical order at all. You just have to deal with it. So if you remember last Sunday, it was a Sunday of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit was given to the disciples in the upper room. They spoke in tongues. They had power to testify to Jesus' resurrection. And they were given the power to continue the Jesus movement after Jesus had ascended into heaven. So the scripture readings for this morning from the Gospel of John take place about a month or so before the ascension. So we go back in time, we have a bit of a flashback from last Sunday. The time is the Passover season. And Jesus is with his closest friends and his closest allies in Jerusalem, having a meal that we've come to know as the Last Supper. And Jesus knows, he has this intuition that he's not going to be with them for very much longer. That he's not going to be there in the flesh to see this community grow. To see this community become all that it can be. And he knows this not because he can see into the future necessarily. He knows this not because he knows exactly what's going to happen in the next few days. But he knows that the vision that is burning within his heart, the vision that rings from his lips about this kingdom of God where the poor are blessed, is a vision that the chief priests and the authorities would stop at nothing to suppress, even through violence, even through the cross. And Jesus knew that he was going to have to take a risk and take that message to Jerusalem. So in this upper room with his disciples, he says, I'm going to leave with you my spirit. I'm not going to be with you forever, but my spirit will come and abide with you and in you forever. The Spirit will continue to teach you all the things that I've been teaching you for the past 3 years. The Spirit will remind you of my deeds and my words, will help you testify to the good news of the gospel. My Spirit will continue to reveal to you truths that you're not ready to hear yet. Because although you've been with me for 3 years, there's still much more to learn about the deep and abiding and expansive love of God. Jesus loved this group of people so much that he did not want to leave them alone without an advocate, without a guide. So he says, I am sending you my spirit so that you can continue this movement, so that you can continue this vision that captivated you about 3 years ago. And I wonder what the disciples thought about this, about Jesus saying, you know, I'm not going to be there, but, you know, I'll be there in spirit. It seems kind of like a cliche that we oftentimes say, right? When we can't go to someone's graduation or wedding, I can't be there, but I'll be with you in spirit. I wonder if they wanted something a little bit more concrete, because this seemed a little bit ephemeral, maybe a little bit intangible, maybe even a little bit wishy-washy. I can see Peter raising his hand and saying, you know what, Jesus, the Spirit, that sounds good, but if you really want us to continue this mission, how about an endowment? An endowment would be great, because, you know, it's only a few of us. You know, that Judas guy who's our treasurer, don't really trust him. He's not very fiscally responsible. Our largest donor moved to Egypt. What we really need, Jesus, is an endowment. That will help us to continue this mission. I wonder if Martha was thinking, you know, we really need someone to clean up after coffee hour, because James and John, those guys are a mess, leaving their trash everywhere. What we need, Jesus, is a good sexton. That'll really help us to preach the gospel and continue this message. Or maybe we need an organ, a new organ to cover up all those flat notes that Thaddeus is always throwing out when we're singing our hymns. Or maybe, you know what, Jesus, instead of sending the Spirit, you could send Peter to seminary, because if he's supposed to be the rock of this movement, he could need a little bit of polishing and education to really make it happen. What we need, Jesus, is more young families. What we need, Jesus, maybe is a 5-year plan that will tell us exactly what we need to do while you're not here. Or maybe, Jesus, what we really need is a set of bishops who will help us make us feel religious and acceptable, or this and that, or this and that. The Spirit is great. But if you want us to continue this movement, us, this group of rural people from Galilee without much education, fishermen, prostitutes, bill collectors, activists, if you want us to continue the movement, maybe something a little bit more concrete would be appreciated. The disciples, they needed a lot. Jesus had given them a really difficult mission. The vision that they had of this kingdom of God put them in direct opposition to the Roman Empire. And the empire had a whole lot of power. The empire had a whole lot of endowments. The empire probably had a few sextons as well. So these guys needed a lot of resources. At least they thought they did. But Jesus knew that what they needed before all of that was the very Spirit of God leading them and guiding them and moving through them. The very ground of all being, that Spirit that was there before creation, that brought life and light into all things. That Spirit that descended upon Jesus at His baptism and declared Him the very Son of God. The Spirit that worked through Jesus to raise the dead, to bring sight to the blind, to feed the hungry. It was this Spirit that Jesus knew they needed more than anything else. A Spirit that would help them change the world. That would help them turn the world right side up and reveal God's love to all people. And eventually that Spirit does come. Like I said, we saw the fruits of that Spirit last Sunday. It fills the disciples. They're able to boldly proclaim truth to power. The Spirit attracts thousands of people to this new community. People who are hungry for something that was different. People who were hungry for a kingdom that belonged to the least of these. It was that Spirit that helped the community build this new community where resources were shared. It was the Spirit that gave power to the disciples to give sight to the blind, to raise the dead, to feed the sick, to heal those who are hurting. Jesus knew that what they needed before anything else was the Spirit who would help them turn the world right side up. And that's what He promised, and that's what has been with the church, that is what's been with us during good times and bad times, guiding us back, reminding us of all the things that Jesus taught us, giving us power to take on the entire world if need be. Today, this morning, is the Feast of the Holy Trinity, which is the time in the church year that we are to meditate and to think about the joys, the mysteries, the enigma, and the complexities of the Holy Trinity. And because it's our paternal feast day, it's also a time for us to meditate on the joys, the mysteries, the enigmas, and the perplexities of this place we call Trinity Parish. And in many ways, we've got a lot more resources, a lot more stuff than those disciples had 2,000 years ago. We've got this beautiful building here. We do have an endowment. We have pledging members. We have seminary-trained clergy. And all these things are wonderful things, particularly the last thing, by the way. Wonderful things that we should have and that we should uphold and that we should honor. They make our life together in Christ much more rich, much deeper. But I imagine, I have this sinking feeling that, you know, it's not those things that have drawn people into this room for the past 160 plus years. I believe that it's a hunger for the Spirit that has drawn folks here. A hunger to be part of something bigger than themselves. A hunger to be part of ultimate reality. A hunger to be part of God's plan for this world. A hunger for this Spirit that gives us hope in times of adversity, that gives us power in times of struggle, that promises us forgiveness when we really mess up. And that Spirit is here in this place. It's that Spirit that reminds us of all those things that Jesus did, like feed the hungry, and then urges us to do the same. For the past 30 plus years, Trinity has fed thousands and thousands of people in our food pantry and in our hot lunch program. A multitude of people come in here 3 days out of the week. We give out about $90,000 worth of food every year. And every Sunday, about 100 people or so show up in the South Parish Hall, not just for a hot meal, but for community, for a place where stories can be told and shared, for mutual support. And believe me, the Holy Spirit is in that place, not because we bring it, but because the Spirit has been poured out on all flesh. Through this ministry, by following the example of Christ, the Spirit reminds us of Christ's teachings. And during this time in our particular context, when our state representatives have cut valuable funding to things like unemployment and food assistance, our food ministry is needed more now than perhaps it ever has been. So I pray that the Spirit will continue to remind us of those things that Jesus taught. It's the Spirit here that we've all experienced firsthand, the Spirit that abides with us and loves us. During those times when maybe a fellow Trinity member has come and visited us in the hospital, or sent us a meal during a time of life transition, or maybe stood by us and gave us strength when we felt like we didn't have the strength to stand. It's the Spirit of God that has led us into all sorts of new revelations about God's deep and abiding love, that has continued to teach us new things about God and God's mission, that has led this place to declare many, many years ago things that other religious communities weren't talking about, like the full inclusion of gays and lesbians in God's kingdom. In the 1950s, Trinity held its first same-sex blessing. In the 1950s, that was many, many years before many religious institutions had heard the Spirit guide us into a deeper understanding of God's ultimate and indiscriminate love. It's God's Spirit, the Advocate, who has urged us to work for things like a better world through social justice and public policies that better reflect God's kingdom. It's the Spirit that has urged us to stand with low-wage workers. The Spirit that has urged us to go to Jefferson City to talk to our elected officials. It's the Spirit that has urged us to try to make this world into a better place, to turn this world right side up, that has given us the power to do that. It's God's Holy Spirit that has been working in and through this place for the past 160 plus years, revealing God's love in ways both subtle and complex. And although all those other things are wonderful and great, it's the Spirit that's primary. It's the Spirit that folks are hungry for. And I know that in this place, the Spirit lives and moves and gives us our being, not because we have a monopoly of the Spirit, but because God promised it to us, working amongst this imperfect people. There is a sweet, sweet Spirit in this place. And I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. I know that it's guided us for many years. And I look forward to where the Spirit is guiding us in the future. 160 plus years ago, folks came and formed this parish, and they named it Trinity. And I had no idea why they did that. Perhaps our historian and archivist, Etta, could fill us in a little bit during the potluck. Maybe it's because they weren't very imaginative. They thought, Trinity, that sounds good. I don't know. But I'm glad, for whatever reason they did, they named it that name. I'm glad they did. Because as bewildering as the doctrine of the Trinity is, of one God and three persons that we worship without dividing the substance, co-eternal, co-equal, unintelligible, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, despite the problems and issues or difficulties with that doctrine. At its core, the doctrine of the Trinity says that God's very self is community. So let that sink in for a second. God's very self is community. Before the world existed, there was a community defined by love, respect, mutuality, egalitarianism. And it wasn't until millions and millions of years later that humans created this idol of the rugged individual that interacts with other individuals in this competitive marketplace that breeds so much inequality, that breeds so much isolation, and breeds so much poverty. The doctrine of the Trinity is a protest against the idolatry of individualism. It's a protest against this idea that somehow we can do it alone by ourselves and that we don't need one another. So every time we come into this place and worship the triune God, experience the Spirit of Christ, we are engaging in a protest of sorts, a demonstration. And we have all the elements of a good demonstration here. And we have chanting. We have processionals, marches. We have a guy speaking into a microphone about peace and justice and changing the world and all that kind of stuff. And we have the Spirit. We have the Spirit of Jesus. We have the Spirit that leads us into deeper understanding of God's truth and God's love. We have a Spirit that has promised to stick and abide with us through thick and thin. We have a Spirit that shows us what a world turned upside or right side up looks like. We have a Spirit that gives us the courage to testify to God's works in this place, in our lives, and in this world. Amen. Amen.